On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
1, 2, 3, 4.
A swing and a belt. Well, field way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it.
It's over!
Here's a chance. That call. Shot, rebound. Score!
Come on. Hello, you TCA holes.
TCA, okay.
Rob over there, Matt over here. How's it going, man?
Top notch. Couldn't be better. Thanks for asking. What about you?
You know what? It's good. It's good.
It's good.
I know like 30 seconds ago I told you that we would open up a little Red Blacks talk, but I got something else I wanted to hit you with quickly.
Yeah, no problems, man. You know what? It's ladies' prerogative, right?
Yeah.
I can change my mind if I want to.
Doesn't matter because it just ran right back out of my head. Oh, no. Today, just before we sat down to record this, okay, Jacob Trouba awarded in arbitration.
Ooh, this would be good.
1 year, $5.5 million. So he went in asking for 7. The team was offering 4, and the arbitrator saw it offering in the middle.
And but you know what? I think the arbitrator's right. That guy's a 5, tops 5.5. When you look at his numbers, and I don't have them handy, but I was actually just looking at his numbers on Friday.
Right.
Or just a pinch ago. Yeah, he's not a $7 million guy, and he's much closer to a 4 than he is to a 7.
Would you like to hear some of his comparables now that he's at 5.5? Other defensemen getting paid that number.
I certainly would, Matt.
Okay. Duncan Keith.
Yeah, okay.
Andre Sequeira. Tyler Myers.
Sequeira.
Right there in Winnipeg.
Sorry, who was the other guy you just said?
Andre Sequeira.
Yep.
Tyler Myers
is the guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Justin Schultz in Pittsburgh. Colton Pareko and our favorite, Petrie.
You mean Bobby Orr? Jeff Petrie.
Where do you think he fits in with that group?
The back end. Somewhere near Sequeira is where I put them.
Really? You got Jacob Trouba. I think I'd rather have Trouba than Sequeira. I'd rather have Trouba than Myers. I'd rather have Trouba than...
I'm taking Myers over Trouba. I'm taking Keith over
you're
Trouba.
You're a size queen.
It's true, I am, man. I'm taking Keith, or even Keith at this point right now, I'm taking Keith
over
Trouba.
How about
Justin
Schultz?
Colton
Pareko.
I'm taking Pareko over Trouba every day.
Okay, I don't think it's as, you know, laughable as you do.
I didn't say laughable.
No, but...
I certainly...
I think it's closer.
I thought he was way, way out of his league looking for 7.
Okay.
Like crazy. His numbers, he's like a 30-point defenseman.
Right-handed, right? That's always a big thing now. And
yeah, I know. And we'll see what happens now, right? Enstrom's going to be out of the picture there, it looks like.
Yep.
Right? He's still out there as a UFA.
Yeah, I told him he's not coming back.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And so where he fits in with Myers, with Bufflin, with, and I'm trying to think of the off or should be off suspended
Morrissey.
Guy. Morrissey, yes, oh. Exactly. That's a guy who got suspended in the playoffs, should have been suspended probably on a couple of different occasions for headshots. Josh Morrissey.
Yep.
I like him a lot.
Me too. Despite the fact these are their guys.
Yeah, but every time he does, he's like, but you know I'm not that kind of player. Yeah, really?
So is Brad Marchand.
Yeah,
not
how many times you get away with a headshot and you go, yeah, but that's not the kind of player that I am.
Teammates, no, that's not me.
Okay, but I think if we wind this tape back,
yeah,
a 5 to 5.5 is probably where he should be, is what I was saying.
Okay. I expected
but I would
probably
put him at 5.
Just with the way salaries keep going up and the value on right-hand defensemen, I thought he'd get a little more. But sometimes he's getting an arbitrator that's just like, I don't know. Whatever. Here's in the fucking middle.
Well, because they are non-hockey guys, right?
Usually.
They are just legal arbitrators.
Yeah.
And so Trouba, I think, should be happy with 5. Clearly, he's going to get 5-5.
Yep.
They'll take that. And he's a UFA at the end of this.
I think so,
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, hey, Trouba, without Enstrom there, you got a chance to play in that 2-3 hole somewhere in there?
Yeah. I think Enstrom was a lefty, I think, so we're still looking at...
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of decors out there that have 4 or 5
yep.
left-handed guys.
Yeah, it's true.
So to me, which way you shoot, yeah, that's a bonus for sure, right-handed, right-shot D.
At some point, though, it became a really big thing. Like, we went from... It can't be more than, 5-8 years ago that no one ever talked about, in terms of top defensemen, which way you shot, to now... Right-handed defensemen get so grossly overvalued just because there's so few of them. Like it's, and I kind of feel like it started with, I was going to say, Babcock. Maybe in 2010 at the Olympics, but even then I don't remember much of it.
Lots of talk of him having to have...
Yeah, but at 2014 in Sochi, for sure, it was a huge thing. He wanted, that was, we were talking about PK.
He needed to have 3.
Yeah, 4, right? Remember they were running 8 defensemen out there a lot of the time. Just with the different roster sizes at the international game.
Yeah, well, and you're stuck here in Babcock land, right? You are inundated with Babcockisms. I don't think the rest of the league is that.
I do.
Not as committed to it as he is.
No. And he does overvalue it. But I'm just saying in terms of league-wide, when you started to really hear about it more was maybe around that 2014 season when he made it such a big thing, and it's still more important to him than most people, but it kind of put it more into the conversation is sort of my take anyway, because you see it everywhere. Right-handed defensemen get overpaid now and kept around in the league much longer than, remember at the trade deadline, Chicago picked up Cody Franzen, who'd done nothing in 3 years, but he shoots right-handed. Let's see if he can.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, so give it a shot, and I think he ended up with the Ice Hogs or whatever.
Somewhere Bill Waters is talking about.
Parades.
Yes, and parades in the lake and those kinds of guys.
What type of parade he'd be leading through Toronto? Yeah, yes. That was uncomfortable for sure. We ended off episode 249 last Wednesday talking about the Red Blacks and Trevor Harris and just kind of his up and down season, I guess. At the time, they were 2-2. Both losses had come to a very good Calgary team. This week, they defeated BC in...
An injury-ravaged BC team, too. Ilamimi.
Yep. Sure.
Yep. I'm going to put a little sick on the end of that. but clearly, one of the best linebackers in the league, out of the game. Harris couldn't get out of the pressure that BC was providing, and really more than breaking the game down, when we were talking about quotes and leadership and all those sorts of things, and you and I differ quite a bit on what your responsibility as an athlete, especially as a very visible athlete, what your job is and the requirement on you to sell the game, to be a spokesman for your team.
Right. Stuff that happens off.
And after the last game, and you're referring to in the end of 249, I was saying, him saying, if the buck stops with me, although you can't really blame one person, you got to look at those guys.
I'm taking the blame.
And what about those guys?
But I'm really, not really taking the blame.
Yeah, but really, if you want to blame me, go ahead.
Right.
And so after having gone nine quarters without scoring a touchdown, right? The Ottawa crowd
getting on him,
right? And you're hearing the boo birds.
Yeah.
And after the game, Matthew Schenetti said to him, they won. He orchestrated a couple of nice drives at the end.
Threw for 300 yards.
And used his Achilles in a game where Ottawa had five field goals because Harris couldn't punch it in the red zone or when it got down low.
That game in the first half didn't look like an Ottawa win was coming, right? Like, even when they were leading early on, it was frustrating to watch, right? It looked like they weren't going to score again.
I mean, the number of two and outs.
Yep.
And so Schenetti asked him, you know, you're hearing the boo birds, fans are getting restless. You know, what are your thoughts on that? And his answer, with no hesitation, was, I only care about the guys in my change room. What do you think of that?
What do I think of that? I agree with it. I like it. I understand, especially in the CFL, a smaller league, that maybe you'd want them to say some nicer things and, well, you buy a ticket, you can do this, and, you know, we have to do more for our fans and this. And like you said, sell the game. But as an athlete, my team hires PR guys. I'm not a PR
guy. You are the highest paid player on this team.
Yep.
You are the guy who is paid to run this engine. You are the guy who's throwing for under 100 yards.
Yep.
You know what you need to do? You need to come out and say, yeah, well, we're all frustrated.
How'd that go for Marcus Stroman?
It didn't, because he went on to fucking yell and swear and blame everybody. Right? Again, we talked about that. What you say and what you feel are two different things.
Yep.
And if you're not getting shit done, you need to fucking take care of business. Or next year you're looking for a job, or you're the starting quarterback for the Montreal fucking Alouettes.
Well, I think that's a real possibility. But I don't particularly care. It's strange to me, man, that you have this take on it, because we've both been around sport long enough to know that it should only matter what that athlete is doing to prepare better, to get better, to do better, what his PR skills are like, what he wants to say to the media, whether he's a good or a bad quote, is so irrelevant to me that...
Yeah, you know what? I hear what you're saying, and it's so irrelevant in the NFL. It's so irrelevant in the NBA, where there's so much fucking cake floating around, you don't care. This is a gate-driven league. This is a hard salary cap league. I've played in a pile of sports where I don't give a fuck what anybody in the stands say, but guess what? They're not paying
right
a dime.
Right.
So I only care about my teammates.
So where's the line of delineation? Because your NBA and NFL quotes are fair. But we got into a big thing 2 years ago about Phil Kessel being a terrible quote. He was making a pile of money relative to the NHL. He was the best player on that Toronto team by miles. And as long as it looked like he was still giving an effort, I couldn't care less if he doesn't want to talk to Dave Festchuk after the game.
Yeah. See, and to me, this is a different argument. This is you're now taking that interview and you're doing it. And then you're kicking dirt on the people who pay your salary.
I don't think he has a choice but to take the interview. That would be an agreed-upon thing between the Players Association, the CFL, and TSN. When we ask for one of your top guys, you're going to give it to us. And he's a bad quote.
Well, that's not a bad quote. That's just that's a quote where you haven't given it any thought.
But he is a bad quote. Like, when was the last time you saw him say anything interesting?
He's got a bad haircut, too.
The thing with Trevor Harris is, and I don't say this as a slam, he's a good Christian boy. Talks about God a lot. He's not going to say anything that, you know, if you'd have seen Terrell Owens come in, you can expect a good quote, right? That guy's going to.
And again, if you look at, you know, we had 3 years of Henry Burris here.
Yeah.
Right? And they went 2-16, right? If you're not going to get the shit done, you better have a smile and you better.
Why?
You better spin it.
I just lost. I don't want to fucking talk to...
Yeah. And it's not... You're talking about in between. And he won the game. This is a game he won.
Yeah. But he had heard the boos. He'd heard the media talk. I'm talking about a 2-16 Henry Burris. I don't want to come out and smile to you. I'll come do the interview. But if I'm a real athlete, I'm much more interested in what is being said right now in my dressing room. But instead, I got to come out and talk to Farhan Lalji and...
Matthew Schenetti.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so we've beaten that.
Yep.
Clearly, you feel that it's okay. as a guy who is absolutely, we talk about it all the time, right? But the correlation between asses in the seats
yep.
and salary paid in the CFL
yep.
is very clear.
Well, this is something I'd like to get into on another show when we've both had a chance to do some more reading on it. But in the...
That's no good.
Who wants to do that?
Fucking but research
in,
and shit.
Coming into early 2019, when the CFL and CFLPA collective bargaining agreement expires, it's right around the same time that the, I think they're calling it the Alliance of American Football, which is another wow. pro league starting up
yeah.
in the United States, and the XFL are both starting to come online. If there's going to be any sort of disruption at all, how many stars in yep. Canadian football, well, right,
you,
in quotes.
You got Wonder Nuts out there in BC, I mean in Calgary, whose name escapes me right at the moment.
Bo Levi
Mitchell, I believe Mike Riley in Edmonton, Trevor Harris in Ottawa.
All free agents, man.
All on 1 year contracts, yep. right?
All of them know that this possible labor disruption, and we all roll our eyes about this when we hear it in the NHL, when we hear it in whatever. This is so much smaller scale in terms of money. You can't allow those guys an open window, and they've allowed themselves one by knowing how to negotiate a contract, when to negotiate the end of it. And you got two pro leagues, both of them, and here's where it differs from the CFL, that have said, we will give you an out anytime an NFL team knocks in your contract. You can leave. The CFL makes you jump through hoops and you have to have negotiated certain whatever, right? You're committed to the CFL. It's going to be interesting. Like I said, we don't have enough info right now, but I'd like to talk about it down the road where...
Well, good luck to you, Trevor Harris, quarterback of the Shreveport Pirates. Good for you.
Won't take much to make more than he's making in Canadian dollars in Ottawa.
Yeah, well, he'll have to clear 300 bills.
American.
Yep.
Anyway, it's an interesting one, man. And to me, I...
Douchebag.
Okay. Me or Trevor Harris? Both.
Whatever. I'm just going to leave it out there.
Sure. I wanted to talk a little bit about Josh Hader. All the haters.
Yeah, honestly, could you come up with a, could you have a less ironic name?
So, as a reliever, he goes to the All-Star game. He's a reliever for the Milwaukee Brewers. Went to the All-Star game this year. And as he's there, someone is, for some reason, but whatever, scrolling back through old tweets from,
I think, 2010 like, or 2011, yeah. one of the two.
When he is 16, 17 years old. And Josh Hader is saying some not very cool things about white power and hating gays and...
women, very misogynistic quotes.
Right. And for whatever reason, these become public again around the All-Star game. And it's probably because, I don't know about you, I'd never heard of Josh Hader before this year's All-Star game.
And then you look at
the
guy and go, oh my God. You're making a pile of cash, I can only assume, as an All-Star. Have a stylist or something.
So, the game starts. This tweet storm explodes as people find it. Everyone starts ripping on it. Members of his family are taken aside because they're in the stands to watch a member of their family perform at the All-Star. And given blank NL All-Star jerseys because they were wearing his name on their back. When, you know, you may not want to be in the middle as this continues to explode. After he's done at the game, he's pulled aside by PR and said, hey, by the way, your life is in shambles at the moment. Here's your phone. And all this stuff has been drugged back up. Now, I think it's fair game. You said it. It doesn't really matter that you're 16 or 17. To me, the part that's interesting is this weekend, I believe it was Saturday night, he returns to Milwaukee, and he's brought out of the bullpen, and he's going to make his first kind of appearance since this storm. And the crowd, not all of them, but a good portion of the crowd, gives him a standing ovation. Now, he has since apologized to his team. He has said whatever he had to say in front of the media, both at the All-Star game and back in Milwaukee, about being... a teenager, being stupid, these aren't things that I believe anymore. And as he's giving the interviews to the media back in Milwaukee, members of his team are coming by and patting him on the back, clearly showing that whatever he has said to them was enough for them publicly to support him. This, the standing ovation is weird. And I assume the people who did it are, I guess, going, we understand you were just a kid and we accept your apology. But at the same time that NFL players are getting just torched for taking a knee and things like it's a weird look. I don't know if it's a bad look. It's a weird look, man. This whole thing is.
Yeah, I'm not giving the guy a standing ovation.
Booing him?
I don't know if I'm booing him either. If he's my guy,
yeah.
And I am air quotes, you know, I'm a Brewers fan. I would hate like hell for things that I said when I was 16 or 17.
Yep.
Man, I said some terrible shit to a bunch of people into my 30s.
Thank God that stopped.
And I've said a pile of things for effect.
Yep.
Things that I don't even believe, but
of course
you know that they're going to have maximum damage. Now, sorry about that.
Show titled.
Yeah.
Maximum damage.
Now, this is gonna make you feel the worst. And I've done a bunch of that, for effect. And I'm saying that, you know, right up front.
Yeah.
I would hate for that to come out. So I'm willing to give that guy. Does that make it right on my part? No. But nobody's bringing it back up later because I haven't tweeted it anywhere.
Right. It's not publicly out there, consumable. It is not unfathomable to me that he would have sat down or stood up or whatever in his locker room with his guys of, you know, Dominican and Hispanic.
Yeah, multiple and ethnicities.
All, and said to the guys, look, here's what I said at 16. I don't know what I believed. I don't know how much of it was meant to be inflammatory, but you all know what I'm like now as a teammate. You all know I don't believe any of that. And then it's up to them how much they want to believe, how much they want to forgive, how much whatever. But it's not hard for me to believe that a bunch of 30-year-old men listen to a guy say to them, I said some stupid shit when I was 16 and I don't believe it. Now, I guess he's a little younger than that. He's not 30 yet, I guess, if he was tweeting in 20.
No, I think he's sort of 24.
Right. But it's not hard for me to believe that a lot of guys in that locker room would have been at least empathetic that went, I wouldn't be impressed to see a bunch of the shit that I said at 16 dragged back out into And that's kind of the danger of Twitter. That's kind of the... I think if it were me, and I think this is going to become a thing as we kind of bring it back closer to home with Roberto Osuna, this is going to be weird. He wasn't racist, he wasn't whatever, but he's been accused of something pretty bad, maybe worse. I don't know how you grade these things.
Well, I think if you are found guilty of hitting somebody,
yeah,
that's worse than
saying
bad things.
Sure. What is the reaction of the Toronto crowd going to be when he comes back out? Do you cheer for him because he's your guy? Do you boo him because of what he did?
I don't think he plays here again.
Yeah, and we've talked about that. I don't either. I don't think Rodgers will let him play here again. I don't think it matters what the Blue Jays want to do.
Right. I think that is he'll suit up for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Could be. Apparently it's a fairly accepting locker room.
Yeah, you're good to go there.
I just think that this is kind of strange in that if I bought his apology, and I probably would because of the situation, because he was young, because of everything else that went on, the most I can give you is not booing you when you commit.
That's what I said. I'm going to be non-committal to the whole thing. Watching his speech, and he had some teammates behind him as he gave his, as he addressed the press, and he just said, and he's not articulate enough to say, yeah, that stuff I said back then, I said for reasons X, Y, and Z, none of them are legitimate. I was young and I was stupid. He was saying, yeah, those aren't things that, you know, like that was...
Yeah.
He couldn't even distance himself from it properly. Like Milwaukee Brewers, PR guys, you can't help them with that.
Well, so
these aren't things that I really believe. These aren't the things that I was raised to believe.
Right.
I was just stupid and saying shit, you know?
So this is obviously an impossible question to answer. I'm going to throw it out anyway. What is the point of delineation? You say something stupid at 16 and everybody 10 years later goes, I get it. He's a kid. He probably didn't believe that. You wish it. Is it 18? Is it 20? Is it 20? Like, when do you go, nah, fuck you, you're a racist?
Yeah. You're woman-hating.
Right. Whatever it might
homophobe
be.
Homophobe, right. Racist.
And so at 16, I'm pretty sure I knew well enough that regardless of whatever jokes I might make behind closed doors, this is not cool to say. It's certainly not cool to put out on the internet, yeah, right? Like, but you and I didn't have Twitter when we were teenagers, that this will live
1988,
on forever,
baby.
Right? At that
age. It wasn't even computers.
Right.
That weren't the size of this studio.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I don't know how this shakes loose. It was strange to see a standing
ovation. I think what it comes down to is what I just said. I've said a bunch of things.
Yeah.
I'm sure in 2010, and I'm not sure what the, you know, what the arc of Twitter is.
Yeah.
I'm sure that guy at 16, probably in his first couple tweets,
mm-hmm.
was really aware.
Right.
That this was going to haunt him forever.
Sure. A, I don't expect many people are ever going to read this. B, I don't expect to ever be an MLB All-Star. C, I'm a 16-year-old kid who, I'm not trying to defend him. What you said was bad. But the people that are tearing him apart now, I have a really hard time believing that every one of them would be okay with everything you said as a teenager being pulled out into the light of day.
Yeah, no.
Would be okay
not
with
a chance. Not a chance.
Yeah.
And so on that front, I cut him a little slack.
Yeah.
Only because, yeah, I know I've said a bunch of inflammatory shit.
Right.
That was just to maybe a group of five,
yep.
10 people, two people.
Sure.
Yeah, never thinking it was going to come back on me. When if you look at it and if they just pulled it out in black and white and went, hey, what about that?
I shouldn't have fucking said that.
Oof.
Right? Yeah.
How do you defend that? How is that not your core belief?
Right.
You
weren't there. You weren't in the moment. You weren't.
Yeah,
but as you've said, there it is.
It isn't.
In
yeah,
writing.
Okay, but there it is. You
yep.
said it.
Yep.
Got to come from somewhere. Don't back away from it. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm a bad man.
So I thought I was going to have to back away from something earlier on today, as I've had, and I think I told you about this, a long-standing bet now. It's got to be almost a decade with a guy you and I both know, Tyler, that Tiger Woods would never win another major. And headed into Sunday, he was right there.
Two strokes back.
Yeah, with the lead. Now, luckily, things kind of came apart on him a little bit.
Oh, luckily.
I think he was tied. No, whatever. We've only got a pint riding on it. But the thing was more the principle that in 2009, I said, that guy's never winning a major again. So it was more the principle of, I don't think this guy is ever going to win another major more than it was the payoff itself, right? And so, like I said, today, it seemed in jeopardy a little bit. He never was able to put it together. It kind of came apart a bit. I forget the guy's name. Some Italian guy ended up winning it. First Italian to ever win the British Open. So interesting in that regard. And my bet lives on. And as years go by, it becomes less and less likely with
At 42.
And he's been through some shit, right? Like as things went on, I've spoken to Ty a few times and said, you know, he's out there crashing his car into shit and he's having back surgeries and whatever.
His ex-wife is crashing golf clubs through the back of his.
Right. And Ty, to his credit, goes, could still happen. Like, Ty doesn't concede till Tiger dies, I don't think, right? Like, until it's impossible that he wins another major, I haven't won the bet. Whereas
that pint's coming.
It's got to be.
To you.
Earlier this week, though, Tiger found himself in some shit for what sure looks like blowing off a bunch of kids when it came to autographs.
And maybe pushing them to the ground. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, sometimes kids need to be taught what's up.
Under my foot.
Tiger would defend himself by saying that he had spent already like 30 minutes signing autographs beforehand, and lots of witnesses have backed that up. But, of course, cameras don't capture that because that's not a
fun
story.
you know, show them giving the kid the forearm shiver on the way by.
Is there anything to this, or is this just more? Not at the British Open, you know, the stars aren't banging around in your
in Tayside, Scotland, just every day,
right? Like they might be at however many tournaments get played in the U.S.
Yeah,
every
for
year.
For sure.
So I get the frustration that maybe he wouldn't allow a little more time and whatever. But the video, which we'll share at Tall Cane Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCaneAudio, the video is not kind to Tiger.
Well, and again, whatever vagina bum released that, it said, watch as Tiger cruelly,
yes,
and in capitals, cruelly pushes aside the kids. And you're like, aw, come.
Yeah.
And again, as you said, yeah, he did his autograph session up front. He made time for people. Could he have just scribbled a couple of things on the way by? Yeah, I believe so, right? It's practice. It's not like they were out there on the course during, you know, round two.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But when is the thing becomes, when is enough enough? If you look over and see Tiger is signing for those four kids, now your kid runs over, and then this guy runs over, and then that. Like, it always is a,
yeah.
How do you, in my mind, and maybe this is kind of a bigger thing, are you as an adult, are you interested in athletes' autographs?
Nope.
Are you interested in a photo with an athlete?
Nope.
See, that to me is more, you know, I went to a luxury box a couple of years ago, just by chance. I got lucky and was invited. And Darcy Tucker was kind of hosting the six or eight people who were there.
Yeah, for Leaf fans. Kind
yeah,
of
we were
thing.
At a Leaf game.
There was
going to
be an alumni
in
the box.
That's right. And that's what it was. So it was Darcy Tucker. He spent most of the time filling his face with chicken wings and shit rather
yeah,
than talking
on.
To people.
doing the Jeff O'Neill treatment.
Exactly. So, but he came up and he had just signed autographs for a couple of kids. There was only like three kids there. Everyone else was adults who wanted to talk about, you know, the 99 Leafs playing with Matt Sundin or whatever might have been going on, right? And I said to him, you know, hey, would you mind? And kind of made this vague gesture. And he went, sure. And he pulled out the marker that he'd signed and went to sign my Leaf jersey. He went, hey, whoa, the one I was wearing. Right? Like, don't fucking write on that. This cost me $200. Like,
yeah.
Would you do a picture? To me, that was kind of cool. Because that's something that you can yeah. buy an
hey,
autograph on
it's
eBay.
It's a Sundin jersey. I don't yeah, want you to fucking
exactly.
sign
don't
this.
Don't be fucking it
it's
up
like Gilmore, here. Get away
right.
from me.
Exactly. But to me, that's kind of cool. You could hang that up, or you've got it to kind of show people, or it's kind of fun to. You can buy an autograph on
yeah,
on wherever.
I think it's different if I'm in a box that's being hosted by an Leaf alum.
Right.
Yeah, that's different than, you know, you being at a milestone.
Sure.
And
see, going up and approaching.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Joe Bowen. As he's choking on a chicken wing bone.
I did that once, too.
I see. This is why I bring it
yeah.
up. So,
super nice guy.
Okay, but I'm not interested. I'm not interested in any of it. The reality is,
if Daniel Alfredson came in here.
Like here in the studio?
Yeah, and hung out with us.
Yeah.
For an hour. You don't want any evidence that ever happened.
I don't need it.
Okay.
I don't need it. Now, to me, that's totally different. The three of us are sitting here in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm never.
Because I'm taking a picture with him and I couldn't care less about the sentence, right? Like, that's
yeah.
happening. That's
no, I know,
something
but,
I'd
but,
like to.
But that is clearly, we are in an environment where it's sort of.
Yeah, no, I understand. But Tiger wasn't sitting down to dinner.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's,
he was
it's,
out
he's
there.
Working.
In this, yeah.
No, it's not. It's his last practice round as he's preparing, and I do get it, right? Especially on the heels of the Trevor Harris comments, right?
And that's where I was just going to come back is
I know.
No, but as a guy, from my point of view, who said Trevor Harris doesn't owe a quote, doesn't owe anybody anything, and now here I am sitting there going, I wouldn't mind if he took a picture with me.
Right? Yeah.
But I'm not showing up at practice to ask him to do it. I also don't want to interrupt
yeah.
his dinner. I don't know what that situation is.
And really... This is a deal where Tiger, all professional golfers are solo contractors.
Yeah.
Right? I'm out there. I'm making my money
right.
on what I do this weekend. Now, he's obviously short of what he had to give to his ex-wife.
Sure.
In excess of $100 million.
Ouch. Fuck.
He's not hurting. There's no tag days
right.
for one young Tiger Woods.
It's Darcy Tucker in the situation I'm talking about, has been hired by the Leafs to come and do this.
And fill his face with chicken wings and beers.
And for the night, you're going to hang out with some fans, and you're going to sign some autographs, and you're going to take some pictures, and that's part of the deal. Tiger's at work.
Tiger's at work. And really, it's like Shooter McGavin or or whoever Don Johnson played in Tin Cup. Yeah, where he's like, he's great when the cameras are on, and then he's pushing old people aside when the cameras aren't on him. Yeah, that's one of those things, right? Tin Cup, great movie, too, if you haven't.
Haven't, of course.
Man, Kevin Costner, and it's awesome.
And Kevin Costner also in The Natural.
Yep.
Look at that guy.
Well, and Kevin Costner, he's also in whatever Draft Day. Underrated.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Okay, underrated.
That's the one where they're back, like he's a GM.
Yeah, Cleveland Browns, exactly. Yeah, president, whatever it was. But as Tin Cup, man, he's awesome. And it's Rene Russo in her heyday. She's got those those 90s jeans on. That's just all I need to say about that.
Sure.
Not aging well, Rene Russo, but good in 92.
I thought that was all you needed to say.
Yeah, but that's the story of my life.
See, I'd take a picture with her, too, if she was here in studio.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like 60 years old now. But
holding her like a bowling ball is what he's going to say. He's going to say.
Can't publish that. Right? That's for you Patreons only.
Yeah, exactly. Clip, sling. Yeah.
All right.
You are a contractor. You are playing your own. You just, that's it. The money you make or don't make.
So if he wants to shove kids to the ground, power to him. It's going to hurt his brand, but the PGA doesn't have a right to say to him, you owed those kids.
Yeah.
I guess the only reason I brought it up was I probably take the time to sign the autograph for the three or four kids who are standing there. The grown men who are behind them can fuck off.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is you and I, man, we talk about sports on a regular basis. That's what we do. We spend a large portion of our time talking about sports. So does that make us jock sniffers? I hope not. But the reality is we both do a variety of things very well in our lives. There's just nothing anybody else gives a fuck about. Right. Right? But does that make that person so much substantially better than me that I want to take their photo?
Right.
No, I don't give a fuck about that. Do I like the way you play hockey? Do I admire all those things? Yeah, great. But at the end of the day, you're probably not as smart as me. You're not as good looking as me. So forget it.
All right. Yeah, we differ a little bit there in terms of I kind of think those are cool things in the right moment to grab a picture with Darcy Tucker or Joe Bowen or whoever it might be, right? But
yeah, I don't begrudge anybody who doesn't have anything else in their life.
But if someone's got 20... Oh, man, there's a fucking... look at this fucking guy. But if there's 12 kids, you know, that same night when we're down in this box at the ACC with Darcy Tucker, we're behind the platinum seats. We're on the bottom level, right? Not up top. So there's a hallway where the teams walk out kind of where you're standing.
Yep.
And we didn't know this. As we're walking up to it, is just as security stops you and ropes off the area. And now all these kids come running because clearly their parents are doing very well and they've been down there 100. So you kind of back up, right? Let them be there for to bump fists and whatever, right? Like that sort of stuff is kind of cool, right? I don't think grown men need to be in on that.
The 12-year-old kid who has, you know, Warren Moon's signature on a popcorn box that he had at the game. And
right.
Like, that's cool. Those are good stories, right?
For sure.
The 40-year-old guy who's got three pictures and a jersey that he wants to auction off on eBay or wherever. Yeah, you're a douche. Get a life.
Last thing before we wrap this one up, man. This past week, on the heels of Kawhi Leonard being traded to the Raptors, Sportsnet published a list of the 13 biggest acquisitions by Toronto teams ever. Now, I'll tell you that for whatever reason, the list starts in 1990. But there are 13 of them.
Okay.
I just want to see how many of them that you can guess Sportsnet listed as the
biggest. These are trades? These are just free agents,
any acquisition that a Toronto-based team has made. Could be trade, could be free agency, could be transfer, could be whatever.
Okay, so the Gilmore trade?
Gilmore is one of them, yep.
Okay, Matt Sundin trade.
Yep.
How about... So not Carter and Alomar.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, that was listed as one because it's one trade.
Yeah, for sure it was. So
that was in 1990.
You know who was going the other way in that?
Yeah, Fred McGriff and Tony Fernandez.
Atta boy. So that's a 90. Yeah, probably 90. Okay.
It was 1990.
So let's see then.
That one was interesting because Joe Carter already had a couple of 100 RBI seasons. No one knew who Roberto Alomar was.
Yeah, but Carter
both McGriff and Fernandez, very popular guys already.
But Carter was a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy, but batting like .220.
Right.
That was his calling card as a Padre.
Now, to me, that one, just before I let you move on, is the best comparison to the Kawhi deal, just because the Blue Jays had been very good for a long time, but they just couldn't get over the hump.
And the crime dog, Fred McGriff, was was awesome, right? So Slugger and Fernandez, clearly, to me, he was in the 90s. I mean, the 80s, there was a very real
possibility
that he was the best shortstop.
And between those two guys, both very popular. And so we're really good, but we're not good enough. We're trading some pieces. We can't keep doing this the same way. To me, that's an exact comparison to what the Raptors
and
did.
And as we know, in hindsight, it great worked. Outcome. Great outcome. Okay, so I've got three.
Yep.
Is that what I've got?
Yep.
It's strangely I'm thinking baseball, right?
Yep.
So I'm going with Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens is one of them. Now, also interesting, just because they gave him. What do you think he made in his first year in Toronto in '96? He was a free agent.
'96.
He was 33 years old. Was well removed from his best years in Boston. Things had kind of leveled off there.
How much money he signed for?
Yeah.
$4 million.
$10 million per year.
Oof.
For 4 years, with a promise that after two, if he wanted to leave, they'd let him.
Which clearly he did.
Two Cy Youngs.
Two Cy Youngs, and I've made my cash elsewhere.
Yeah.
Although I'm bending over and taking the fucking pipe.
From McNamee.
Yeah, right there in my ass.
Isolate that.
any TFC guys?
Yep, just one.
Michael Bradley?
Nope.
Defoe?
Same summer. Yep, Jermaine Defoe was brought over from Europe. Now, people remember that as a disaster, but in 16 games, he'd scored 11 goals and
really?
Then was very, very good. It was a bloody big deal. And
because when he was the first guy, and to me, you want to talk about the Kawhi Leonard thing and how give him a little year to sort of marinate in Toronto and it being a great sports city. The reality is, and people talk about this, in MLSE, MLS. No, but I'm talking about Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
Yep.
Right, as the umbrella.
Yep.
You're able to woo Tavares and bring him back in.
Right.
You're able to with Javinko and Bradley and the Defoe thing, right? That you are Jose Aldo, right?
Altidore. Aldo is the fighter.
The fighter, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe he's next.
But that you are able to bring and sign these guys, right? That you are able to sell people on this idea.
That was Tim Leiwicki, right? That was the year he took that over with MLSE, and the first thing he did was turn around and bring in Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley within a week of each other, and all of a sudden TFC looks like a giant, right?
And
Bradley's still there.
Three of the top five paid guys in MLS.
Yep.
So I've gotten off topic, but David Cohn in there?
Nope.
Jack Morris?
Nope. Both could be. I agree with you, but. So you have cleared.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
Hakeem Olajuwon, no. But you have.
Alonzo Mourning?
No. He never even came.
That's funny.
Doesn't count if you don't go.
Yeah.
You know how that works.
Yeah, for sure it does. I didn't.
But you have, you're missing one in turn. I've got these listed in chronological order. You've missed one from the early 90s here. Think CFL.
Oh, Raheem Ismail?
Yeah, Rocket Ismail. Take a stab at what they paid him.
$1 million.
$18 million over 4 years.
Ooh.
$4 million plus per year. Now, he didn't stay.
The Rocket.
Now, he was going to be the first overall draft pick. Dallas Cowboys said they wouldn't pay him that. And a John Candy, Wayne Gretzky, and
Bruce McNall
owned Argos team said, come on up, man.
I was not looking at the Argos making it into that list at all.
You should, because there's at least one more.
Okay. Is it Theismann or no, post 90?
Yep. also right around the same time as Roger Clemens.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doug Flutie moves over to the Argos, plays two seasons with them, wins two Grey Cups, two MOPs,
and
is paid $1 million per, while Rocket Ismail 6 years earlier made four per.
Yeah, well, but then they brought in a bit more of a, there was a...
Drummond and Pringle and...
Yeah, and but the cap, they started to pinch down hard on...
That's
you
right.
can't pay anybody. Like now I think it's $2.5 million cap, I think.
It's somewhere around there.
Yeah, so yeah, there's nobody making.
So you have cleared out anything pre-98.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's a recency thing in terms of post.
Yeah.
So Tavares is in there?
Tavares is in there just this summer, obviously.
And I've rifled through all my MLS guys.
Yep, you're done with MLS. It's all Leafs and Blue Jays now.
Yeah.
Okay. Curtis Joseph in 98.
Don't care.
Signs for, take a stab. What do you think they paid Cujo in 1998, 4 years, at how much per?
4 years, $2 million per.
$6 million per.
By God, Jesus Christ, man.
Connor Hellebuck just signed for $6 million per. Right? And he was 31. Wow. Cujo was 31 at the time.
I have undersold on every contract thrown out here.
The NHL, before the lockout, man, there was like Sakic's making 10.5. Sundin was around 9, 9.5. Like if you remember during that first lockout, the NHLPA tried to sell, we'll give you a 24% rollback and we carry on.
And we will never settle for a hard cap.
Right. The NHL said, we'll take your 24% rollback. Thank you. And now let's talk about the cap. And so everyone came. But there was guys making a pile of money before that lockout.
Yeah, wow, that surprises me though. I seem to have forgot.
So,
but are you talking about now in terms of the Jays acquiring guys like David Price?
David Price and Tulo were listed
as one
because it happened within a day or two of each other.
But surely Encarnacion and Bautista don't fit into this.
They don't. I guess because they weren't that big when they came.
Exactly.
Phaneuf in 2010. Yeah, but at the time, like he actually arrived as a bigger name than when he left as.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, because he had a 20-goal season as a rookie with the Flames and sort of.
Had, I believe, in his first 4 years in the league before he became a Leaf, had 39 power play goals. In his 6 years in Toronto, scored 17.
Well, his full year, 2 years, like the year that we had the run.
Right.
That was a better year than any year he had in Toronto.
Yeah. So Kawhi, Tavares, and then the Price Tulo thing. What's interesting to me that they left off, Josh Donaldson, who was in Oakland, so he wasn't getting a ton of press.
He was
already a very good third baseman.
But a late flourishing guy.
Would win an MVP in that first full season in Toronto.
That's odd that he wouldn't be included because he was a name.
Especially if you list Tulo. Donaldson would contribute more than Tulo would. Now, I guess Tulo was the bigger name when he arrived, but anyway, interesting, man. Those are biggest
100 game guy.
Yeah, well, anything to you in that group that stands out, or do you think that was missing?
No, the ones that I've pulled out, I can think of more. You know, departures, right? Carter, McGrady, Stoudemire, those guys. I think the ones that I've pulled out are the ones that have come right out of the mist of my gray matter.
Yeah, obviously the Leafs are the Leafs, but in basically the rest of these leagues, Toronto is Canada's teams, right? The Raptors, the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
the,
for sure.
The whatever. So some interesting ones there. To me, Donaldson was the only
omission,
really big omission. The rest are kind of here and there. Like I said, you can make a case for or against Phaneuf, but when he arrived, that was supposed to be a big thing, right? So... and then I would have been big enough
to make him captain right away.
Well, he finished out the season not as captain because he arrived in January, and then they made him captain going into camp the next
year. Okay, I seem to have forgotten that.
The only one that I probably would not have come up with, and just because I remember it as a disaster, is Jermaine Defoe. But he was great to start, and then there was injuries and then whatever, and then they shipped him back.
I had no idea he had 11 goals in 16 games because I think
that's fucking killer, right?
For sure it is in soccer.
Yeah. I think that's about it for this episode of Talk and Sports, man. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
Then we'll see you all on the next one.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking... suck this year.